So as we come to look at this passage, let's pray for God's help. Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks to us by your Spirit. Open our hearts as we hear your words speaking to your Spirit speaking to us through the Bible, to hear what you have to say to us, and help my word to remain faithful to yours. Amen. Well, love. What is it? Love is something certainly Christians talk about a lot. It's seen as a crucial part of what it means to be a Christian. It means to love. And of course, when as Christians we talk about love, we're not talking about romantic love. Romantic love is that unique love for that special one person. It's an exclusive love. It's a passionate love. But romantic love is different to what the Bible is talking about, particularly in this passage. And the Bible does talk about romantic love. It is important. But the sort of love we're talking about is love in community. Love that's not for one other person, but for all our relationships. And we need to know what that love is. If it's so central to what it is to be a Christian, then we need to understand it. We need to actually know what we mean when we say love. And actually that's what John wants in his letter that he writes to the church here. He says in verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. In other words, John is saying, look, if you want to find out what love is, and you should want to find out what love is, then look at the cross. In fact, he says, as we look at the cross, as the cross becomes a kind of lens to analyze, to study, to work out the meaning of love, and help us to truly love as God loves us and as Jesus loves us. So let's dive in, and I've got 10 C's about love that come out of this passage, I think. And so let's dive into that and get on with it. So the first one, I've already sort of mentioned it really. The first one is that love is central to Christian living. If you look back at verse 11 before our passage, but really introducing this section, it says, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandments were, he said to love God and to love our neighbor. On the night before he was crucified, he said to his disciples, a new command I give you, love one another. Love is central, it's foundational, it's the message from the beginning that we're called, it's the way we're called to live. And the Bible reflects that throughout. We're called to love. And if this is our call, then isn't it important that we really understand what kind of love this is? And it's more than just being nice and kind to people, as we'll see as we focus more on that. But secondly, if you look again just at the bit before our passage, love is a contrast to hatred. John takes us back right to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 4, and to the story of Cain and Abel. It's a kind of archetypal story of hatred, of a brother hating his brother. And the story goes that both brothers made a sacrifice to God, but God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice and didn't like Cain's sacrifice, and so Cain became jealous of Abel. And God warned him about that, the jealousy that was growing in his heart and turning into hatred. But Cain acted on that hatred, and he murdered his brother. It's a horrific thing to have happened. And yet, isn't it still true of our world today? Only this week, we've seen the conviction of that police officer that murdered George Floyd. A murder, no doubt, arising out of the hatred of racism. And it's also the anniversary of Stephen Lawrence's murder. Again, reminding us of the horror of racism and the hatred around that. And of course, the cross points to hatred as being a reality in the world. Jesus was abused and destroyed by wicked people that hated him, that wanted him gone. And John says in verse 13, don't be surprised if the world hates us as Christians as well. We will sometimes be those that are hated by others. And yet John says, don't go that way as Christians. It's the opposite of love. And certainly in verse 15 he says this, anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. It might be a bit extreme to talk about murder and hatred here, but actually if we want someone gone, if we want someone silenced, if we want someone suppressed because of our hatred for them or hatred for what they represent, then isn't that a kind of murder? And doesn't it arise so easily? There can be disagreements and arguments in churches or between churches, and that's inevitable. But we mustn't allow those arguments and disagreements to run to hatred. We want to get rid of the other. That's the opposite of love. And hatred so easily turns into anger, abusive language, gossip against someone, all these sort of things. Love is certainly not those things. Certainly not, love is never to look like that. So to understand what love is, it's important to see what love is not, to see its opposite, to see hatred. But of course, John wants to look more positively at what love is. And so he moves on in John 3:16 to talk about the example of Jesus' love. But it's important to see here that Jesus laying down his life for us, his death was a choice. He chose to lay down his life. If he wanted to, he could have called upon angels to come and rescue him from the cross. But he didn't. His death wasn't giving in to bullies. His death wasn't allowing himself to be abused by others. No, it was a choice. His death wasn't through fear. And it's important to see that because sometimes we may be allowing people to do other things to us and saying that we do it because we love them, but actually we're really doing it out of fear of what they might do to us or not do for us. And when we're acting out of fear, we're giving in to abusers. We're being coerced. We're not choosing to love them. And whatever love is not becoming a masochist. Love is not becoming a kicking person or someone to be abused. Love is a choice that may mean sacrifice and hurt, as we'll see. But it's not just putting ourselves in the way of harm just because that's what someone else wants to do to us. Love is a choice. It's not giving in to fear or coercion. But fourthly, it says in verse 16 that Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus' death wasn't just a death for its own sake. He was actually achieving good for us. He was achieving something for us. And you want to see what he achieved? Well, it talks about that quite a lot in 1 John. We look at chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. It says this, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Jesus' death does us good because it brings us life and it brings us forgiveness for our sins and puts us right with God. Now notice here that Jesus' death on the cross is an act of love that gives us what we really need so that it does good to us. It doesn't just give us what we want. In fact, if you went on to the streets to talk to non-Christians and said, "What do you want?" Most of them would say things like, "I'd love to win the national lottery," or "I'd love to find the perfect romantic partner," or something like that. They probably wouldn't say, "I want to be forgiven of my sins by God, and I want to have eternal life." And yet that's what we really need. That's what God sent Jesus to give to us. Love doesn't give people what they want, it gives them what they need. It doesn't give them what they think they need, it gives them what they really need. And so when we're seeking to love others, yes, we need to listen to what they say they want and need, because that may actually, they often know better than we do, but we don't just give them whatever they ask for. If a child keeps asking for sweets, we don't give them sweets nonstop, because we know it's bad for them. If an alcoholic keeps asking us for drink, we don't get them drink non-stop because we know it's bad for them. True love is not just giving people what they want or desire, it's giving them what they need. And actually, true love is not also, it's also not just about affirming people no matter what. It's not just sort of supporting people in whatever they do. That's what people often expect, and people get upset if we don't always do that sometimes. They often might call us unloving because we're not supporting them in whatever choices they've made. But actually, Jesus came to die for our sins, and by dying for our sins and saying we needed a sacrifice for sin, he's saying, actually, there's things about us that are wrong. There's things about us that need to change. His death means those things don't stop us coming to him, but his death certainly means that he wants those things to change. He wants to bring transformation, not affirmation. That's what true love is. So remember, love is about creating good for others. That's my longest point, so let's move on to number five. Love is also, though, costly. Don't we see that very clearly in verse 16? Jesus laid down his life for us. That was greatly, great costly. And John radically says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Wow. Do you ever think about that? Having to give up your life for someone else, having to be willing to give up anything for others to help them in their need, to give them what they need. This is truly costly. This is truly hard. And yet this is what God calls us to. Are we willing to accept the reality of that cost? But sickly, we might think, yes, we can accept that reality because we think, well, yes, I would be willing to lay down my life for someone, but that's really unlikely to happen. It's a remote possibility. And I can live with remote possibilities. I'll sign up to that. But John doesn't let us do that. In the next verse, he says in verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In other words, he's saying that love should show itself in concrete action now. We should be meeting the needs of those around us now, even though it may cost us. So how are we doing that? Are we actually meeting the needs of others? Maybe it is we need to give financially to help people. There's less of a financial need in our society. There is still a lot there, more than there should be, more than maybe there used to be. Maybe our financial support really needs to go more to the poverty abroad. But actually, people's needs locally are maybe more emotional, needs for emotional support and need for be spent time with? Are we willing to give out of our time and out of our emotional energy? Again, John says those that have material possessions are to give to others. We can't give what we haven't got. If we've got no time, we can't give more, or we can't give more time than we have, and we can't give more emotional energy than we have. We're not to burn ourselves out. But actually, as we come out of lockdown, maybe for some people who've had a long time really not being able to do much, now the thought of going back and volunteering and serving in different aspects of church life may be a bit hard to face. Maybe you'd rather not go back to those things. And it may be there's good reasons not to, but if it's just because you don't really fancy it, if it's just because it's feeling more costly than it did before, then actually God calls us to concrete action now. And that may mean pushing yourself to get back into volunteering and serving when we're able to. Seventhly, real love is about action, but is emotional as well. Verse 17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him. Actually, the Greek here is wonderful. The actual original language says something like, if you see a brother in need and lock your intestines to them. That sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? How would you lock your intestines? The intestines were the sort of seen as a seat of emotion in those days. In other words, if you cut them out from any feeling towards them. Today, You might say it more like, if you see your brother in need, but don't let your heart go out to them, maybe is a better English translation. Actually, our love needs to show itself in action, but that doesn't mean there shouldn't be an emotional element as well. Let's allow ourselves to feel for the needs of others. Let's allow ourselves to feel that compassion. After all, again and again, it says that Jesus had compassion on people. Jesus' death on the cross wasn't just this seeing what this needs to be done and doing it. It was an emotional response to our fundamental needs. Love is compassionate. It's emotional. But eighthly, love is also combined with truth. The end of verse 18, it says, let us love with actions and in truth. We sometimes think, particularly these days in Christian circles, that truth and love are pushing against each other. That's partly because we've maybe experienced people that have preached the truth in the Bible and spoken the truth and they've done it in a very harsh and hard way. And so it's come across as unloving. And suddenly we're not meant to be speaking things in that way. We're meant to speak the truth in love and speak the truth gently. But also maybe because we live in a culture where people find it very hard to be criticized. And so when they hear the truth, it feels unloving. But actually, love and truth go together. In verse 23, it says, this is his command, one command, to believe in the name of the Son. That's to believe in truth. And to love others, one another. Love and truth go together. They're one command. We can't abandon the truth in order to follow love. That's a nonsense in the Bible terms. And actually, see, we should share the truth. The truth of the good news about Jesus Christ that he's come to save people, even though people don't always want to hear that. We should share the truth, and when we see people that are brothers and sisters in Christ and going the wrong way, we should find ways if we can, and you know, we need to pray about this and think about it, but how can we find the right way to share the truth with them, to show them that they need to change and be transformed? We need to speak truth to one another. But we often don't, because not because we're loving, but because we're nice. When you look at the cross, love is courageous, love is brave. Love takes risks. So actually, yes, let's speak the truth in as kind a way as possible, in as gentle a way as possible. Let's certainly not come across as full of hatred as sometimes Christians trying to speak the truth can do. But let's speak the truth, because to fail to speak the truth is not love. And so sharing the good news, telling people about Jesus, is actually one of the most loving things you can do for them. But doing it at the right time in the right place is even more loving and wonderful. So love is combined with truth. And finally, these last two are really to say, look, actually, although it can be hard to love, although it can be costly to love, although this is a challenge, actually, when we do learn to love, a lot of positive things come out of that. And the first positive thing is that when we learn to love as Christ loved us, then actually it boosts our faith. It gives a confidence in faith. It says in verse 19, this is in how we know that we belong to the truth. This refers back to verse 18, which is to love with action and truth. So how do we know we belong to the truth? Because we're loving. We're loving like Jesus loved. And that sets our hearts at rest as we come into God's presence, as we come to pray, and we can have confidence in our prayers, as it goes on to say. Actually, when we learn to love, it boosts our confidence in God and in our relationship with God. It gives us a greater assurance that we are really His. Now, actually, you might be saying to me, well, actually, I often fail to love. I can think of times when I haven't loved as I should do. And does that mean I'm not belonging to God? Well, no, of course not. Sometimes, as it says in verse 20, our hearts will condemn us as we look at our failures to love others. But it goes on to say, God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. God sees beyond our immediate failings, and he sees the attitudes of our hearts, and sees the faith in our hearts. And it goes, and back in the beginning of John's letter, he says, God is faithful and just. When we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins. The cross is the atoning sacrifice for sin. We've all failed to love as we should do. We've all failed to accept the cost that can be involved in helping a brother or sister in need. When we do, it can knock our confidence and our faith. But remember, what we think about ourselves, how we feel about our faith, is not what matters, is what God feels and what God knows. And God looks for the faith within us, and he forgives us through Jesus Christ. But when we do love, then we gain a greater confidence and a trust in God. And actually, as well, we gain a greater sense of joy in the community we belong to. John says right at the beginning of his letter why he's writing it. He says, look, I'm writing this so that you, or preaching this, so that you also may have fellowship with us, that you may be part of our community. And actually, our community is joined in with God, with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we write this to make our joy complete. When we learn, the more we learn to love one another, the more we actually create the kind of community that God wants us to create, the kind of family that God wants us to have. And so we find a greater joy. These 10 things are just some of the things that love is. Just some of the aspects of love that the cross brings out. Hopefully we'll see more as we go further through 1 John over the next few weeks. But I mean, you might be thinking that, well, there's 10 things here, they all begin with C, but there's no way I'm going to remember all of them. And I'll be amazed if someone could come to me sometime this week and list the 10 C's to me. I'll be impressed if you can. But maybe just in a moment now, just for a minute or so, or maybe half a minute, look at the list on the screen and ask God to show you the one point that you really need to take on board, that you really need to hear and learn today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you show us what love is through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Help us to maybe take that one point that you want to make to us today, that we may begin to be transformed more and more into people who love as Christ loved us. In your name we pray. Amen.